Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Rad Gontos, where are you?
Am I going to actually get applause?
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Standing O here.
Everybody. You know, just goes to show you. You know, I blow you off, I show up late, you give me some respect. Otherwise, I show up on time, I never get a plug.
That's right.
Oh, it's conditioned. Okay.
He's, he's very conditioned. You know, did I mention he is the poster child boomer that we have? He's like,
yes.
Basically, yes. So,
yes. Yeah.
So, you know, the show is about...
And if you didn't say it, he does.
Over and over and over again.
Did I tell you how old I am? No.
Right. Oh, God.
Who did that?
I'm getting old hearing about how old you are. But, no, that's great. So you guys covered, I was watching it while I was coming, and I apologize for being late. It's good old California traffic. It was an accident on the 5 freeway.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, but you covered background on senior serve.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, right?
And we're talking about the hidden thing, because she had talked about Meals on Wheels before, and we were saying how great that is, but she says there's this other hidden secret, and that's what we're just starting to launch into, which is adult daycare. Tell us about it.
Because a lot of people know you guys for Meals on Wheels, because
exactly.
It's such a successful program, but, I mean, I remember from day one when I met Susan, she was like, yes, Meals on Wheels. No, let's move on, because we have all this other stuff,
right,
too, that we also
right.
do, right? Yeah, and...
heard of adult daycare. Everybody's heard of Meals on Wheels. Or at least if you get into this situation, you quickly learn there's
so did you guys cover adult daycare?
No. Okay. No, we just started going into that.
Well, lovely to see you both here.
You too. Thank you.
And I'll step back and let you cover adult daycare.
What is it? Where is it? Who pays for it?
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Wow. Who pays for it right away?
Yeah. You know what? What everybody's asking.
Right. That's what everybody asks. You know what? And I'll just preface it by saying while you're regrouping here, when my parents started to get old, only child, nobody else to turn to, no experience in this whatsoever, no other, I didn't go through this with my grandparents. They all died a long time ago. When I was 6 or 8 or 10, I never saw any of this. My parents never went through any of this.
Nobody prepares us for it either.
Nobody. We had no experience of this. The first thing that hit me, and everybody would say, this is so awful that you're saying this, was the money. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Well,
put them in a home, $10,000 a month. Well, but do this, thousands and thousands and thousands.
Well, let's talk about that. Did he mention that he didn't have a reference point of being a grandfather?
So no, I haven't gone to that.
Oh, okay, so I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead to his after-the-break situation. But here's Paul, who basically himself does not have a personal reference point of how it's to be a grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using that just as an example because there's other things that maybe were relevant to grandparents that you also didn't see go through this aging process. So in some cases, as part of your generation, because of the age discrepancy, that person who is now facing these realities may not have a personal reference point.
No.
That's right.
Of having seen somebody close to them go through
and
this and
I'm
how
the
family kind of navigated
right.
that.
I think
right.
I'm the only person that's made this observation, at least that I know of, and I've never heard anybody talk about this, but having just become a grandparent in the last couple of years, I didn't know what it was like to see grandparents or be grandparents, because in my circle of friends, and I think mostly my generation, grandparents died when they were in their 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're living longer.
So all of a sudden, right. when they were in their 60s, I was 6, you know, and all of a sudden, and I think of my wife, my best friends, this group of people I know, not one of us knew our grandparents. Mm-hmm. If we did, barely.
Right.
So let's switch to the money thing, right? Because I find it's really interesting that, I mean, you guys are living it daily in terms of being of service to seniors, right? Is it an accurate observation that in many cases we go through all this litany of the programs and what's available and all of this stuff and we stand up in front of groups and we share all this information, and yet the last thing we kind of touch on, and it's almost sometimes like, I don't want to kind of talk about until somebody asks the question.
Ugly. You're not supposed to
bring
it up.
Is the cost factor.
Right. You know what? We don't. Because we mostly serve low-income, at-risk seniors and their families, that's really one of the first things we talk about. It's not. We don't.
It's kind of a loaded question, Susan. I kind of asked it the way I did because of that. Because you guys do have a different reality that you
exactly.
Deal with.
We don't bury the lead. Right. In other words,
right.
We
bury the lead. There's a radio term. There's a newspaper term. Bury the lead way down in the story here. And the other thing I'll tell you from caring for your parents. Boy, I get the looks from the doctors and everybody else like, don't you care? You just want to talk about money? This is all about money? I'm like, at the end of the day, you can tell me all the great programs in the world and make feel guilty that I'm not mortgaging my house and
how did it get
quitting
paid for,
my job to do all this.
Did it get paid for before, you know?
People died. People died.
So there wasn't an issue because people's life expectancy wasn't so long?
That was actually part of it. You did not have people living.
It's not a nice thing to talk about, but let's talk about it.
It's realistic, you know. You had more insular families. People weren't moving so far away. Families stayed together more, and so grandma did live.
So you had that built-in support.
Right. Yeah, grandma lived in the back room,
yeah,
you know, kind of thing. And if there was a situation where grandma really was too frail and sick and couldn't live in the back room, then they did have the homes, which which were not great places to go to.
And that's what we're trying to avoid with our services. It's to keep seniors living
at
independently
home
as long as possible with programs to support
and so it's
them.
Not just only because there's a benefit on the cost factor and impact on the family, but there's also a healthy wellness element to having people in that familiar environment.
Exactly. Absolutely. We want
that's
to
their
help.
Choice whenever. I mean, that's what we hear every time. That's the last thing they want to do is be moved into a home.
Word institutionalization.
Right.
It's a nasty, nasty word. And I want to preface
that. What you
that.
Do for criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a wow. There
but
you
I
go.
Want to preface
and that's what my
that.
Aunt always says. You're not going to put me away. That's
yeah.
a, the couple.
Put
I did
away.
Have a
yeah.
grandmother I knew a little bit, barely, and they were trying to put her away at the end, and lucky her, she just died. Mm-hmm. Which is what quite often happens. But you hit on three things there that I don't think everybody examines. One, grandma didn't live that long. She died in her 60s, maybe 70s.
Well, but I bring that up because it seems to me like people have this fantasia that basically what happened in the past, there was a solution, and now the situation is more grievous and economically more challenging, and all of a sudden we have this. Yes, those are all true. However, there's also this thing where people did not live as long, and therefore the impact of the situation and needing to have a solution for it wasn't so heightened back then.
And the other two problems,
fortunate or unfortunate, that now we basically are living longer, and this financial impact reality is very much part of everybody's.
And I'll give you a couple other demographic facts
lives.
That nobody figures in. So, grandma didn't live very long. Number two, grandma probably had a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're having far fewer kids. There's more of us that are one or two, you know, trying to take care of. I was
nuclear
one
family.
Taking care of two parents plus an aunt here. So I'm outnumbered. I got three against one here. And, like Susan said, we all moved away.
You're actually perfectly trained to go volunteer for senior service.
I really am. I probably
kind of is
up today, actually.
And the, sign him up.
And the other thing was, so, you know, didn't last very long, didn't have to go through this very long, lots of people to spread this over, and somebody was always home. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
because
we were
again, you have to.
Yeah, if have, if my wife or I,
Orange County
families, yeah.
If we forced my aunt to move in and said, "Sorry, you're going to do this," who's going to stay home with her?
Right. Well, let me circle back then,
because
that's the perfect intro back into what we were talking about.
Yes,
adult day health care.
Yep.
So that person that we're talking about, the senior, may not be living in their own home anymore. Or they might, but oftentimes they're living with their adult child.
Right.
Maybe they're living with an elderly spouse. But either way, they want to try and stay home. It's more economical. It's better emotionally. There's a whole lot of stuff going on there. But their world starts diminishing as far as the contact that they have. And one of the things we really wanted to hit on today that not a lot of people talk about is what loneliness physically does to you. And we were talking about how to set yourself up to not be isolated. And it's not just about having a social circle.
Right.
It's about being involved in things outside of yourself.
Well, because sometimes social circle, I mean, I hate to put it this way as well, is if you've had a social circle, it may be dying around you.
And that's what Paul was saying.
In my own life, friends are dying. In my father's life, most of them died. And then what really isolated him is I said, he became her, my mother's sole caregiver. So even if he could have and should have done other things, he was 24/7 with
her. Right. 24/7.
So I'm going to talk about him because he's a perfect case study. That you've got somebody who's an elderly spouse who's dealing with somebody who has a disease process. They're living at home, and the elderly spouse is a very responsible person. They want to make sure that, that their loved one is being taken care of to the exclusion of life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they're setting themselves up for some problems. But number one, there are solutions that are available to him that will help not just him, but reduce the guilt thought process of him accessing it.
Guilt's huge.
And it's really huge. So what's going to happen is he's going to be introduced to the possibility of having a couple days off to go fishing, hang out with his friends, volunteer somewhere. When you volunteer, you end up meeting people who are younger than you sometimes or different from you. Or your social circle all of a sudden starts expanding without you realizing it. So that's kind of for him. For her, if he is open to the fact that, hey, I could use a couple days off, she's going to come home with me. She's going to be home.
You're not putting her
away. You're not putting her away.
It's just an alternative.
She actually is going to probably improve somewhat in her health and outlook because she's going to be going to a place where her diet is controlled the way it's supposed to be. Her medications will be given to her the way they're supposed to be. But she's also going to have the opportunity for socialization and activities. So her own world, which has narrowed, gets to broaden out a little bit. So she sees more people than
her
husband.
And guilt goes both ways. Because my dad was guilty that he couldn't fix it and you know, felt, I got to take care of her. Okay, even though sometimes he would get frustrated and call me up and cry and get upset and everything. I can't do this. My mother felt incredibly guilty. She knew what it was doing to him, and she wished she could die, quite frankly.
And this would hit both of us. And then there is physical therapy, occupational therapy. There are opportunities for them to feel like somebody is helping them stay
mobile,
better, stay at least at the level they're at. It's what they call maintenance. It's not rehab. But
well, and with the propensity of, you know, falls with seniors and being off balance and things of that nature. We were talking last week about you know, with massaging and and things
I
of that nature,
that.
Right? So before we go further, why don't we describe or define adult daycare?
Yes, what is it?
So adult daycare is for people.
And
it
who
actually
pays
is for 18 and up.
What?
And who pays for it?
Okay, I'm going to cut to that.
We'll get back to that, okay?
Okay. It's actually for 18 and up because it also has people in there that maybe have some brain injury or something like that. But on an average, it's seniors.
Right, because it's adult daycare.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So what you've got is people who need some type of supervision as far as getting their medication correctly and on time. We do breakfast, lunch, and snack.
Where does it take place?
Transportation is provided.
Okay.
We personally, SeniorServe, has two adult day health care.
Okay.
One in Anaheim and one in Santa Ana.
Okay.
But if people listening are saying, hey, well, I live down in Lake Forest, all you have to do is call us. We belong to a collaborative of adult day health care providers, and we can tell you who's in your area. There are a total of 16 or 18 at Orange County.
I mean, is this usually taking place at a senior center? Is
No.
Where is it?
It's
a variety of
locations? Yeah, they're their own facilities.
Out in
they're
the parking
not,
lot. It's
no, that's your.
Oh, that's my adult.
That's yours.
I'm sorry.
Payment, I know. It's okay. Payment is...
Hey, come back here. Don't put, stay on the lot now. Come on. This is good for you.
Wait, I'm telling what you want to know here.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Payment, CalOptima will pay 100%.
What?
Yes.
Or...
It's like the best kept secret.
That's right.
It really is.
So
right.
What are the
or VA in our you.
I know what you're thinking. We'll get back to it. Okay.
VA will cover for those who some of them have agreements with the VA, and our Anaheim facility has a VA contract. So that's also, or you know, if you have the money, but you just want to make sure that you are conserving it because we all yes. living longer.
And you know
it's only $80 a day from 7 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon,
so the cost
5 days a week.
The cost is $80 a day.
Yes.
It is covered by CalOptima.
Or, yes.
Right?
Right.
Or veterans
right.
Insurance or whatever, services. Okay. Or you could pay for it. Mm-hmm. Technically, at $80
yes.
a day rate,
yes.
right? Okay, so
and it doesn't have to be every day,
and it doesn't have
it could
to be
a couple
day.
Days a week,
and it's available. Do you say lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Snack. Yeah, because they leave by 4.
So, like,
right.
okay, so what? Like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock?
No,
9 o'clock?
So people start coming in as early as 7 o'clock.
7 to 4, basically.
7 to 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
and
because the parking lot closes after 4.
Because you have to come.
I have to come.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when Paul has his after daycare.
That's when the alcohol.
It's
wow.
night care. For
that's
Paul.
The night care.
Yeah.
What about CalOptima's financial
that
requirements?
I have to put up with everything.
Do you have to? Because here's one of the things we discovered. People said, well, you know, you can only make so much money. There's certain other programs for low-income people where they'll give you a certain amount of subsidized housing if you can't do it, but it's almost so little that you literally wait 5 or 6 years and you probably
well, but
die
you guys are talking about CalOptima. Like, everybody who's listening knows what CalOptima is.
Yeah, let's define what that is.
We're talking about an agency that would pay or a program that would pay for this adult daycare. Okay, where is that? Those resources
and
coming
what are the
from?
Income?
It's the state.
State. It's state-funded. Mm-hmm.
Medi-Cal.
But you can't make
but
a certain
in Orange
amount
County,
of money, right?
In yeah. Orange County, right. Medi-Cal is managed by CalOptima.
By an agency called CalOptima.
Exactly.
And
so,
how little money, what are the income thresholds?
You know what, Paul? That we don't get involved in.
Okay.
That you have to actually go through.
So you have to qualify.
You have to qualify. But honestly, most of the people that are coming to us
yes.
already have it in
right.
place.
Right.
Right.
So it's not that we're trying, you know, and we can't qualify you. We can steer you to them, get you hooked up to them.
Right.
But if you have not applied, then you have to go through that.
Well, and let's look at this for a second. Okay, even at the cost of $80 a day, okay, with all those different services that you mentioned, mm-hmm. okay, under one roof, basically,
right.
in a safe environment.
That's right.
Okay, I mean, for your dad, for example, that mm-hmm. one day at $80, the safe peace of mind,
right.
the sense of freedom that he actually
right.
has, you know, a day from 7 to 4 that he
yeah.
can actually do something else if or do nothing
right.
but recharge his batteries. I mean, that's the equivalent value that we're talking about
right.
here.
He begged for something like that, looked for it, and the sad thing is he was a veteran of World War II, so he would have qualified under VA mm-hmm. for this, as we've now learned. So my question is, why is this a secret? Why do none of the health care providers, why did none of my father's doctors or my mother's doctors, mm-hmm. he would take her in over and over again, and part of it he'd try and talk about, what am I going to do? And they'd all shrug their shoulders and go, I don't know. Have a nice life.
Yeah. You know, this type of service started about 30 years ago.
Okay.
So it's been that slow build. And, Paul, you're right. We are trying the best that we can to do everything we can, mm-hmm. radio,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. presentations, to get that message out because it has been completely underutilized, especially because the straight shot is hospital, skilled nursing, rehab, and then
right.
if you don't rehab well enough, oh, well, you'll just stay.
Right.
Well, but there's another option.
Right.
Right.
When you've got the support at home where somebody can be there in the evening and on weekends, and they can handle whatever it is that's going on, they just need, maybe it's an adult child that's working.
Right.
Right.
Well,
they
and,
have to work.
Well, and hospitals are discharging you quickly. You know, if you're insurance, they want you kind of off the payment plan as quickly as possible. As far as if you've had an injury, so there needs to be some sort of stopgap that basically comes in at that point and is available. And I think to your question, Paul, I think what happens, which is normal in a lot of industries, is that you are counting on those gatekeepers, those discharge
planners,
to basically pass on that information. Well, it depends if that information, A, has been put in front of them. They're overloaded with it as far as their workload. They're not seeking out information because they don't have free time to do so. You have to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be in front of mind to basically pass it on. And what happens a lot of times is you don't have cross-discipline integration.
And we're working on that.
And that's right. where you know, community outreach and information and talking about this thing. Plus, it's not an easy topic you want to talk about. I mean, you don't just wake up in the morning and go, hey, here's my cup of coffee. Let's talk about how we're going to
So let me give you a third example now here that just came to my
mind. But it should be. It should be part of that family conversation around the table.
What's out there? Because we are working with a few area hospitals now with their case management team because they are now understanding the value. We're all looking at person-centered care.
Right.
We're all looking at wellness. They are now understanding the value of including
wellness,
this.
Wellness, not warehousing.
Yeah. At including this in that continuum because, like you said,
it's preventive,
a lot of,
too. It is, or maintenance, as you put
well,
it.
Well, you know, you get somebody who is in the hospital, does go to rehab, goes home. They're not what they were before, maybe, unfortunately.
Right.
Or the reason that they were in the hospital, it was the third time because they weren't doing well.
Regardless of age, that happens.
And so now they're not really appropriate for institutionalization, think Kevin's, but they really shouldn't be alone by themselves. There's so many things that can happen. I'm going to talk about what loneliness does physically. So adult day healthcare is something that we are starting to be part of their team to present to families as they're getting ready to discharge.
You know what you just did? You just changed the whole narrative by one word. You said adult day healthcare versus adult day care.
Oh, thank you. There are two different things.
And if you stop and listen to that, adult daycare makes it sound like somebody is an invalid that's almost like childlike that needs to be cared for.
Like a babysitter.
Adult day health care sounds like an empowered thing that I do in order to basically have control over my wellness and well-being.
Right.
It's amazing.
To be able to stay at home.
Just one word.
Yeah.
So let me give you another example that comes to mind here. I seem to have lived through all these examples. I'm your case study here.
He is.
My friend that I grew up with since I was in junior high, we were exactly the same age, died last year after he'd suffered through multiple heart attacks over the last few years, and each one worse than the other. And he would go in the hospital, and first of all, he had to file bankruptcy. He was broke after a $2 million because he had gotten laid off. He lost his insurance and suddenly had his first major heart attack like 5 years ago.
Of course.
Wiped him out, house, savings done, bankruptcy, everything. Guy who was a big, high-powered executive is now living in a little apartment with his wife trying to hang on. She has to go get a job. She never had a job in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It gets a little better. Another heart attack another heart attack. Each time he'd go in the hospital, each time he'd come out weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife had to work. Kids are grown, gone. He would stay home. He was weak and weak. He would fall. She'd come home, and he's flat face on the ground and can't get up.
Right.
And breaking things and everything and getting to be a little old man at 60 like this. And so she literally used to say, don't move. Sit in that chair. And so he would play solitaire on a computer, I found out, at the last year of his life. That's what he would do all day. This is a guy who was a very smart, I'm going to get all choked up, a very high-powered, successful, helping human being. And in the end, there was nobody there for him except his wife, who hung in there and had to work all day and then come home and try and take care of him.
Still alone during the day. Right. So the perfect segue.
Loneliness.
Yes.
Yes.
So let me tell you what loneliness does physically, because we talk about people getting depressed. They start kind of focusing in on themselves and their own problems, and it makes them more depressed and so forth. But what we don't talk about, and I don't know that everybody has even thought about, is the physiological issue of loneliness. So they did a study. There's many of them, I'm sure, but there's one in UCLA that I got some facts from, and I'm going to use my little fact sheet here. I'm going to cheat.
Okay, good.
But because I don't want to say this incorrectly. So basically, we found that the key antiviral response driven by type 1 interferon molecules was deeply suppressed in lonely people relative to non-lonely people. That's a lot of jargon.
But there's a physiological reaction
happens
when people are in that state.
That's right. But here's what's more important. This block of genes, but there's also another block of genes that was not suppressed.
Okay.
It was greatly activated.
Okay.
That block of genes was involved in inflammation. Let me tell you why that's significant. Inflammation fuels disease processes in a host of devastating illnesses. Significantly more heart disease, makes persons more vulnerable to metastatic cancer, increased risk of stroke, mm-hmm. more likely to develop neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So loneliness physically will create that inflammation within your system that allows for all of these other diseases to manifest and or get worse.
And in all three of the examples that I gave, my dad ended up having a stroke after taking care of my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom, she got worse and worse, got more and more. She did get something like Alzheimer's on top of Parkinson's. She started to just mentally deteriorate, and so did my friend.
So let me tell you.
It's a domino effect.
Right. So lonely adults are 25% more likely to die prematurely, mm-hmm. and elderly people who are lonely die at twice that rate.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty significant statistic.
And you know, we're talking loneliness, right? And some people may go, well, you know, he's lonely, snap out of it, right? I'm pointing that out because, again, words mean things, right? Loneliness, we go, you know, we downplay it. We talk depression, and all of a sudden we're okay with the fact that somebody can have a chemical imbalance, right? An actual physiological thing, right? And we also believe, well, you know, they're older, they've lost all their friends, loneliness is a natural state. And I saw somewhere, I think you had sent some stuff to me, it was like said something like 7 million people in the United States over the age of 65 are actually suffering from depression every year. Okay.
And that's a byproduct of loneliness.
And that's a byproduct of loneliness.
Yeah.
So there are things that indicators that probably if somebody is aware to look for, mm-hmm. okay, can pick up on before we get to that level of depression.
Right.
Which now is even more of an ordeal to deal with.
Right.
And it's a self-perpetuating cycle. Because the more my mother shook, the more depressed she got, and she was very depressed and all these things. She didn't want to see anybody else.
Exactly.
And they're not asking for help. It has to be somebody in their life that is noticing that something is happening.
Leave me alone.
And then
let me die. I don't
want
to see anybody. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to
see anybody. Well, if you're going to be even open to receive
that assistance. Right, because there's a stigma there.
I don't want pity.
I don't want strangers to come into my life.
Yes,
and
right.
that's what we were talking about. You can start doing all of us right here in this room at the age that we're at.
Right.
I'm 61. I don't know if I can.
You may have mentioned
you.
It.
Yeah, the guy over there that's 80.
61 going on 80.
Yeah, really. That's what my wife says.
We need to be proactive, not just for ourselves, but definitely for ourselves. You need to look for things that are going to keep you connected, not just your own social circle.
And by the way, connected, not in contact. I said it. I did a little video before I came in here. We're all in contact, but the depth of connection is myopic.
Right.
I have 6,000 people on my LinkedIn connection. I should be the happiest guy.
You know, I don't know why you're talking about sitting over there talking about loneliness. You're covered,
But I don't feel. I don't really know. Hardly any of those.
But that's what
we're
connected. That's what I mean. You know,
age of social media. Where it's not true connection.
The
illusion of connection when it's really not. So, but I just want to say that there's another factor for why people may be reluctant to receive that, even from family members.
So you got to ease into it.
Yes, because a person who has, like, I think of my dad, you know, who thinks, you know, accomplished, kind of like your dad, accomplished, go-getter, self-reliant. Da da da! All of a sudden, to come to terms with the fact that you even need assistance, let alone to receive it from your children that you cared for. There's a lot of layers that we have to ease into.
Right.
To your point, Susan, And
so
how do
dynamics.
We do that without basically just panicking or getting frustrated because we're not seeing the results that we should get because we're all living on a timeline, right? Well, I got 6 hours to turn my parent around from the behavior pattern of 80 years
and
start doing something different.
It's
not going to happen. You know, I've got between Wednesday and Friday. If I can't get it done by Friday weekend, I got to go ski, right? So, I mean, but these are realities. I mean, they may not be speaking them, but these are realities that are playing out in our heads.
And, you know, you made a really good point, and that was, you know, that you're going to get your dad turned around. And we were talking about this before we went on air. Oftentimes, it is not the family member that's going to be able to make that difference, at least in, directly.
I agree.
They need other people that are non-children, non-related. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad, I love my dad, and he will tell all of his friends, I've got the smartest girls, you know, in the world. But if it comes to me telling my dad something, you know, he looks at me like he wants to pat me on the head because,
yeah, exactly.
Number one, I'm his kid, and number two, this is that generation. I'm just a girl.
Yeah.
So it can't
come
from me.
That's cute, honey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask this question, because we always kind of touch on it sometimes. Is that receptiveness higher likely from a grandchild?
You know, it could be, but I think sometimes we have to think about the way we introduce things to people who have been, you know, high level executives. They're used to they have lost control, and they are grasping at those last strings.
Boy.
They need to feel that they still matter, that there is some kind of purpose in their life. So coming at it, and I'm going to have Tracy speak about this because we have something that I think a lot of people need to hear about, where they can make these differences and they can get truly connected to something purposeful in their lives. And that is, sometimes you have to go in at it and say, hey, Dad, I know this college grad, they need to, or, you know, somebody who goes to college, they need to do an internship, they need to do something meaningful. Would you be willing to let them come in and spend time with you once a week, twice a week?
God, that's so manipulative, Susan.
Huh?
We got to trick them.
So manipulative.
We got to trick them.
I'm being totally facetious.
And I know you are, but I'm so glad you said that, because people tend to feel a little guilty about that. And I just read a book from a caregiver wrote, and they said, you know what? It's okay to be manipulative.
Yeah.
If you're doing,
God knows
if you're
they
not
were manipulative
doing it to,
with us,
yeah, I was just going to say,
really payback. Really, you
God knows they manipulated us when we
you know,
were little.
If it's not malicious, which obviously that
sure,
wouldn't
right.
be, you
right.
know. But I admit it. I openly, freely admit that there are times when you have to go at it. Like I have always said to my friends, if you can't get through the door, you got to go through the window.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So tell us the program.
So how does that person, I mean, and maybe we can touch on it this way, how does not the only, the person who is the elderly or the person in need for that assistant and service themselves, but how do we encourage the person who is in a caregiver role to actually seek that?
That's, Tracy, take it away.
You're on.
Yeah, that is complicated, but most caregivers, they do start to notice that they have withdrawn, or maybe, you know, like you said, your dad would call crying, right?
Oh.
So it's the family support and the family who's involved to say, okay, wait a minute, what can we do to help the caregiver and the person, if there is a caregiver?
Right.
A lot of our clients are living on their own. They really are totally alone, especially the 900 seniors who are receiving Meals on Wheels from us. So a lot of times we're getting those referrals that they need extra support and help beyond just a meal being delivered. We're getting those referrals from the drivers who are seeing them, realizing, gosh, this
Wonderful.
Person is lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can only drop off their meal. I can't spend 20-30 minutes with them when I have to go to my next person.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So family members are contacting us. Other volunteers are contacting us. We have medical people contacting us now for our program called Care Circles. And I don't know if you guys have heard of that.
No.
It is a volunteer-run program completely. It was launched in 2015. And so what we do is we find friendly visitors, basically, to go and spend time with seniors in their home. All of the seniors, for the most part, that they're seeing are ones that aren't getting out anymore. They're not able to go to their local senior center. They have too many things going on medically, you know, in other ways where they are homebound. And so we are getting referrals. And what we do is we match that person with a volunteer who has a heart to spend time with them.
Wow.
And it can be as simple as an hour where they're playing a card game. And we have so many different varieties of help. Sometimes they may just be helping them around the house.
Mm-hmm.
We have one volunteer who all she does every single week is she goes and gets their mail. And when she does not show up, this senior calls us frantically, beyond stressed out, because she can't get her mail.
Yeah.
But when that volunteer comes weekly, She's happy. Well, and that's all she wants.
You severed the connection line, right? I mean, she doesn't get her mail. She doesn't touch it. She doesn't feel it. She doesn't feel in contact with whoever made it.
And she feels out of control.
Right.
Tell them about the story you were telling me about.
Which one?
With the college student?
Okay.
I love this story.
So we actually had an intern. She worked for our social services department. One of the things I love about our Meals on Wheels is that our Meals on Wheels seniors also have a case manager who helps get them connected to all kinds of other resources in the community. And we had this intern from Cal State Fullerton. She became an intern for social services. She did her 3 months. She was done, and she walked into my office and said, "Can I do something else now that I'm done interning?" Well, of course, I'm the director of volunteers, so of course you can. And I told her about Care Circles, and we got her set up with a woman who lived in her area. We always try to get them connected to somebody close by so that it's logistically possible. You know, sitting in traffic today, you got to have something that you can do every single week.
Reality of Southern California.
Yes. Right. So we got her connected, and she goes and spends an hour with this individual. They play card games. They talk. She helps her with her iPhone. I mean, she's a college student, right? And we had a volunteer gathering last month, and we said, you know, does anybody want to share anything with the group? And she stood up and she said, you know, I purposely schedule my visit with this senior every Monday because I want my week to start out right.
Wow.
And she said she gives me way more than I could ever give her in my 1 hour. And I think that's really, you know, my passion is working with volunteers, and that's what I'm looking for somebody who really has a heart
like
for those
book,
that we
Tuesdays
serve.
With Maury here, where the writer Mitch Albom spent time with a senior and ended up writing a book.
But that ended up expanding the seniors' exposure to, because you talk about, you know, as you get older, your own circle tends to die. Well, so you need to reach back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You need to know younger people. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that sparks something in you like being with somebody who's younger.
Yeah.
They see things differently.
Yes.
They introduce new things. They cause a whole excitement and energy just by entering the room.
It's so true. Well, you see
the
whole dynamic.
That's why I think it goes
change.
To Rod's point that he was trying to seed the conversation there. Should we be doing more intergenerational stuff?
We're all just doing this
as parent-child. Maybe the next generation, the grandchildren, the really young, that there isn't a resistance barrier. Well, you're just my kid. I can't take this from you. I'm not going to listen to you. You know, I was always in charge. Now you're trying to be in charge. But if you go to the grandchild, or if you go to people of that age, maybe you're... And they've talked about... we haven't had anybody in this show, but they've talked about trying to set up senior citizen centers where they are also daycare centers for kids.
Yes, they're actually doing that in other
states.
Seniors
watch the little kids and get to interact with each other, and they both learn from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, Paul, the other thing, too, is I think the profile of, for lack of a better way of putting it, end user, the senior, that baby boomer, okay, is changing also, all right? To where the characteristics are probably not, even if you are in a retirement community, even if you are in a residential community, you don't necessarily want to have only people around you that remind you of just how old you are.
Right.
Right.
You might just dying every week.
You might not want a newborn crying in the room next door, but you will. I think there is an energy that comes from that intergenerational.
There is,
And yet, you know, and that's why when you said adult daycare or adult day healthcare, and you said it starts at the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, in that same room that we're talking about, yes, it's mostly seniors today, but it could very well be, if depending on the programming, if you cross over those disciplines and you bring in people, then there is that added byproduct that happens.
Absolutely.
That I think is where innovation in these areas is where we need to go. You know, it's not, you know, memory loss, it's not just about seniors. It's, you know, crossing over. We talked about the massage situation, right? And bringing that to people. And, I mean, they were sitting here. They're Gen Xers that were sitting here, right? But, again, they're training people that are just coming out of, you know, therapy school. They're statisticians. They're giving them that additional training. And let's put it in another way. Those seniors may be isolated. But then there's also people that are estranged from families, or people that are maybe their families are in other states, that having that sort of structure in their life, that multi-generational structure is a benefit, like you were saying with your volunteer.
Right.
That's right.
Start my whole week right by actually interacting and having that sense. And I will remind anybody who has not volunteered before, Okay, there is an aspect of volunteering that is very selfish. Okay, it gives people something that feeds their soul. Absolutely. When they volunteer, that no paycheck is ever going to actually match.
That's right.
You've got a lot of people who become empty nesters, who just retired, mm-hmm. and they think it's going to be great in about 6 months.
I got all this time now.
Yeah, 6 months in, right. and they're... Their wife is begging them to get out of the house.
And they've lost their purpose.
Yeah.
They've lost the reason they get up every
that
morning.
That is the point.
That's really
you must continue in some way, shape, or form to have purpose in order to stave off a lot of the problems that happen as you age. If you continue to feel that in some way, shape, or form, you are touching into somebody's life, you, for instance, hear a story about one of our ADHC attendees.
One of your what?
ADHC Adult Day Healthcare.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
ADHC.
Thanks for calling me on that.
ADHC.
I love it when you do that. That's the jargon,
yeah,
ADHC.
Okay.
He was a stroke sufferer. He was living with his brother briefly, had a stroke, and then came to live with his daughter, mm-hmm. who had a husband and two small children in the home. Okay. And the daughter had a very, you know, it was a cultural thing. It was very much, this is my parent. I must take care of my parent. All focus was on the parent. So then what happened is he then fell and broke a hip. She had been caring for him for 18 months, and then he fell and broke a hip. In those 18 months, though, that he was post-stroke, she was putting all of her energy into her father. Her marriage was suffering greatly. Mm-hmm. Her kids felt neglected and devalued,
yep.
because mom was only thinking about grandpa. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really know grandpa very well either, because he hadn't been living nearby them.
And all of a sudden he's in the house.
And now he's in the house, and all mom is doing is looking at him.
Yeah.
So then he falls and breaks a hip, goes to a place for rehab, and that person said, why don't you try looking into adult day health care? Mm-hmm. So she came and spoke with our Santa Ana Adult Day Healthcare, and it took a little while because they had to go through the finances of getting onto CalOptima. The day we called her and said, hey, they called us, he's in, she cried. Mm-hmm. He got placed, slowly her marriage rebuilt. Mm-hmm. Her oldest child now goes to a hybrid school that is part college, part high school. Mm-hmm. And because the mom wasn't having to deal every day, all day with the dad, this kid is getting to school on time. He was just given a car because he had perfect attendance. His mom, 2 years ago, because this has been a long-going thing, the father's been with us for a few years now, she was voted Mother of the Year at her younger child's school because she had the time to be a mom. But we were talking about purpose, so let me talk about purpose. This gentleman gets up now every day and assists in his own dressing because he's going to work. Mm-hmm. He has a purpose. Mm-hmm. And before, all he would do, his days and nights were mixed up. He was sleeping during the day, up all night. There was just nothing for him. Mm-hmm. So just that one introduction of a resource, Adult Day Healthcare, into that family mm-hmm. hit on all cylinders. It was amazing.
Well, and I think we as a society sometimes forget that just because somebody is competent and capable in a job role, for example, doesn't mean that they have the skill sets potentially to self-motivate and get and seek those services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have an aunt that's older than my father, who's in her late 80s, and she basically volunteers at senior centers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she is constantly traveling. She is, you know, I'm sure friends of hers are kind of dying and stuff like that, but she's constantly reaching out and reestablishing
and meeting new people.
She's staying connected.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm pointing that out because it's not necessarily an age-related thing. I think there's certain habits that people have. If you develop those muscles, if you will, when you're younger, then it becomes
right.
easier for you to
we
see yourself redoing that,
that
as you,
you
get
have to
older.
Be intentional. Right. You have to be very intentional to stay connected.
Right. And it is conscious. There's a conscious awareness that you need to know that I'm doing this partly because there's a selfish part. I'm looking out
right.
for my own well-being
right.
and health.
Right.
Right. And at the same on the flip side of that is for the people that are looking at those people to expect them to after a lifetime of 9-to-5 work and maybe not establishing social settings and having sort of that balance in their life. We use the word balance kind of almost generically now. Mm-hmm. The balance in their life is very real, okay? For us to expect that grandparent or that father to just or mother to just all of a sudden change their characteristics and start developing these habits.
Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, and that's why the care circles, some of these people who would really do well at adult day health care will never get them there.
Right.
Because you know, they may be, they're still in control of their own decisions.
Right.
There's some that are dealing with some slight dementia, but, you know, even up to a certain stage of dementia, you still have the right to say what you want.
But you're trying to ease them into some sort of hybrid
exactly.
solution by having the
exactly.
care circle.
That's why
right.
we offer so
right.
many different things, right. because we want to be able to have some kind of alternative.
And the one characteristic that my mother, father, and aunt all fight with, and I fear I'll fall into the same trap, is this crabby negativism that comes as you go, learn. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's stupid. I'm not about to do that.
Fall
I'm never going to do that. If I fell into it, I'm wallowing it. You know, and it, because yeah. it's interesting. My father was somebody who was a doer. Got up in the morning, worked 12 hours a day, rose up to corporate ladder. You know, problem, fix it. Problem, fix it. That's what he taught me. When the problem was him, he didn't want to hear about it.
Right.
He didn't seek any fix. He didn't acknowledge he had a problem. I'm still who I was.
And that's why we have to start slowly. Mm-hmm. You know, we get referrals, and sometimes they don't want the support. It is their choice.
Right.
But we can at least attempt to find somebody.
And Tracy, I think it's also important, again, we have multiple audiences in this situation here. The person that's an end user, but also the caregiver, is expectations are important, and managing expectations
Absolutely.
Are important. So for the person who's thinking that this is going to be just a magic bullet solution,
right.
it's not
right.
the case. But
I call it the most
time,
complicated
right?
puzzle that we've ever put together, the care circles. That's what I call it.
But thank God we are actually trying to tackle a complicated
right.
puzzle versus just shrugging it off.
We're not going to give up.
Burner,
we
right?
know that it works, and we know that we don't want our seniors to be lonely. And if this is a possible solution, then we're going to keep trying to solve
and
it.
And then there's the senior, because you were saying this, there's the senior that is still able to be active, but doesn't think they have an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that the fact that they play the piano and can still play the piano can be utilized at an adult day health care. Do you have an hour that you can come to an adult day health care and play the piano for the people there?
Right. Are you a retired teacher?
You know would you like to
do current
teach
events?
But nobody's
there's so many different
nobody's connecting the
ways
dots.
That people can help.
Like exactly. I mean, let's just talk about the educational aspect of it. Okay, all that wealth of knowledge that people have to offer and the long time that they have now because of medical advancements or what have you, health in general, that they have to be able to contribute and offer and pass that on to another generation.
And they still have so much to give.
And it doesn't have to be something formal like that.
No.
Do you like to play games?
Right.
Come
and
play a game with a couple of the people at the adult day health care for an hour a day.
That's
come
it.
And come and play Jenga. Come and play dominoes.
Right.
You know,
could we sit and drink together? Probably not.
Yeah,
we've come full circle.
But you know what? You know what though, Paul? You know what though?
A couple of scotches.
I'm gonna side with you on that one. Because if your wellness and well-being is to friggin' have a scotch and a cigarette, okay, like my grandmother used to
just
do.
Just don't put it on your report to me, okay? Don't put it on your volunteer log. I don't want to know about
it. We have a mocktail hour.
Yeah, mocktail, right.
But hold on a second. Okay, hold on a second. All right?
Rod likes this.
We're talking about, this is my chaotic contrarian coming out now, right? But let's just talk about that for a second, right? The person is, we're dealing with depression and loneliness and a potential, you know, shut in and all these situations. If my grandmother wanted to have this shot of scotch at night and sneak over to the bathroom next to the kitchen, smoke her cigarette in the morning, and that made her day go by faster and easier, and she was happy with a smile on her face, you know what?
hats off to her.
You know, and so the woman that comes and does that, I'm going to call Rod because his grandma.
When I get a referral,
I will bring my cigar and stand outside of the balcony.
You know what? Okay, all kidding aside, at the adult day healthcare level, we can't do that because there's too much. Wait, let me finish though. Okay. There's too many medication issues. Right. However, in a situation where there's a friendly visitor, although the friendly visitor cannot have that with that person, if that person just wants somebody to sit with them while they have a glass of wine and talk, that's absolutely okay.
Susan, the reason I said that and the reason why I kind of basically shocked that a little bit is because, okay?
That's a lifestyle.
It's because we have this sort of regimented way of thinking about stuff.
Yep.
Okay?
It's very true.
And when we do that, we start segregating people. Mm-hmm. We start putting people in these neat little boxes and saying they have to fit in this box, otherwise it doesn't fit the model or the regiment of how we care or how we whatever. You know what? That's fine. There's a reason why there's a regiment and a program. It works in most cases for most people. But we also, if we are ever going to break through and make this a part of a lifestyle change, a paradigm shift in how we basically live life and look at the continuity of life and aging and all aspects that come with it, we have to start allowing for those things.
Absolutely. Right. Because if you were to tell my husband that he couldn't have his glass of wine when he's 85 and has to live in an assisted living, no, Joe, I'm not going to do that to you. But no.
It's coming,
but
Joe.
Seriously,
we've already identified a location that has private lockers and a self-playing piano, and you can bring your wine cellar.
Listen, there are so many of our different levels of care that recognize that we're adults.
Right.
We're not kids that have to be told what to do at every hour of the day. There are certain situations where, you know, advanced Alzheimer's or something like that, where you have to direct and have the structure and so forth. So it's not going to work for everybody. But even in skilled nursing, when I used to work in skilled nursing, because that's where I come from, as long as the doctor prescribed this person can have a glass of wine with dinner or this person can have a glass of beer, they could have that. And that was huge because 20 years ago, that was absolutely not heard of, not allowed.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about, okay? We have to look beyond those regimented things. I understand we live in a litigious society and there's liabilities and all this stuff, right? But that's exactly it. Because at the end of the day, it is quality of life.
Right. That's right.
Okay?
So thankfully, because we only have ADHDs from 7 to 4, we don't have to worry about happy hour. Right. They can go home and do it.
Right.
That's why I was starting that way.
But actually, your program, because it is, again, an alternative to being, you know, institutionalized.
Right.
Okay? Or in a home. Right? Provides that. You have the support, but then you also have the after the health daycare, adult health daycare, that you can have a continuation of normalcy.
That's right.
As you
define
normalcy.
Right. That's right.
And I also want to say, you know, don't underestimate our volunteers. We've had grumpy seniors that we've gone out to see, and I've even had, we have an AmeriCorps volunteer that we're working with, and she's doing a great job managing this program. And she was doing a match, and she was really worried because the senior was pretty grumpy, and she thought, I'm not going to be able to find somebody who will do this.
Put up with this. So you can become mean. My dad became very kind of mean at the end.
We're surprised every single time. She found a person, and they went out and met her, and she just took it with a grain of salt. She was like, oh, she's fine. This doesn't bother me at all. I'll get through that rough exterior.
Right.
And they started connecting, and the volunteer just pushed through those barriers because she had a heart to really help somebody. And so
are we ever coming back to us, the society? We've talked about this in other shows, and I'm going to have to wrap up here, where we stop putting these people somewhere else and keep them integrated in society so they feel alive, they're not alone, they feel a purpose. Or are we this trend that started so long ago where as you get older, you move?
No.
You disappear from society.
You're locked
in your own house. You're locked in an institution. You're sent somewhere else.
We don't want them to become invisible. And a lot of times they are, because a lot of, you know, other populations that need help, you see them. You don't see our lonely, isolated, homebound seniors. No. And that's why we have to get the word out that they're there.
You know, that whole thing, it goes right into our mission. You know, Senior Serve is about nourishing the purpose, wellness, and dignity of the seniors and their families in our community. That is our mission statement. Mm-hmm. And you can find that and anything else at our website. Can I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Perfect timing.
So SeniorServe is www.seniorserve. That's no E at the end of serve. We're being really cute about that.
Right. S-E-R-V.
.org. Not .com, but .org. So SeniorServe, no E at the end, .org is how you can get connected to what we do, our volunteers, get more information on adult day health care, and all the other programs that we have.
Well, and I would say, you know, we need to start talking about this in terms of empowerment services and not something that basically I need because I'm older. I think it has definitely serves that population, but it is, I think, getting people to see these resources as empowerment resources, as continuation of quality of life resources.
Yes.
You know, I would love to basically turn on my TV and find somebody basically having a... I mean, AARP tried to do it. You know, you don't know ARP. And I thought that was a horrible slogan, right? It sounds like something a seal on the beach near Cambria is doing when I drive
by. I want an ARP.
ARP. Okay. But
it's been effective.
But it's memorable. Okay, but it's still a little... You know, there's, and my point is that to show people that are actually seeking these services and feeling empowered by them... Okay, to put a different visual on this thing. This is not, you know, God's waiting room and you happen to have somebody who cares there or somebody who comes to your door. I mean, it's very real positive impact to having those care circles. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to start in the industry talking about these resources and empowerment.
Yeah.
Right.
Both for the family member that's needing them, for the person who's the caregiver in that family, for society at large. You know, I mean, these are members of the community that have a lot to offer. You know, maybe there's ways to capture that. Maybe that care circle is, you know, if people are wanting to share, there's a way to sort of capture those experiences in a way to share it, because those are very empowering stories. I mean, I'm president of the Historical Society in San Clemente. On average, age of my membership is probably over 65. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we have a losing, you know, membership base, and it's not an aging organization, but we in a way deal with exactly these same things, and there's a intergenerational caring mechanism in San Clemente that kind of happens, and you know, people kind of are there for each other, and then they're kind of trying to do a village concept down there for senior services. But I think we as an industry need to start taking this thing out of the realm of just being seniors, that this is something that impacts all of us.
Absolutely.
Right. And we have to all work together to get that message out. And we all have access to different people.
Right.
So we have to work together to really meet the need.
Give us the website again and we'll wrap up.
www.seniorservewithnoe.org.
And give your names again, guys, because if somebody wants to volunteer, somebody wants to, you know, find out about the
show. They're hosting the show every other week now.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
you
were we'll
there
back,
we agreed
right?
to do
we're
that.
Oh.
So I'm Susan Papiri. I am the Senior Director of Community Relations.
And I'm Tracy Hall, the Director of Volunteer Services.
And I'm Rod Gantis, and you've been listening to The Rad Life, and that's Paul Roberts over there.
I'm 61.
Who's 80.
Notice we did not say our age.
Nobody does.
I'm glad he didn't ask you. That's Paul Roberts, who's 61 going on 81. And we'll see you guys next week at The Rad Life, Wednesday, 12 to 1, octalkradio.net.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gantos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.